Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Sorry that we're a couple of minutes late. We see people signing on to the call. We have many people registered for the calls, and we wanted to make sure that everyone who wanted to be with us this evening could get on the call. I see lots of names that are familiar to me. Welcome. My name is Barbara Fields. I am with Jim Kenney. I'm a co-director of the conference, Awakened World 2012, in Rome and Florence this October. And all of you are registered for the conference and have been getting our materials and hopefully studying some of our tutorial materials. I'd like to also introduce to the call tonight my assistant at Association for Global New Thought, Megan Stanek, who's our engineer for this Maestro conference tool that we're using. And also Reverend Dr. Donna Burns, who's been an assistant coordinator for helping us put some of the tutorial teleseries materials in place. So thank you, Donna and Megan.
Glad to be here.
Hello, Jim.
Hi, Barbara and everybody.
We wanted to talk just before we get started just a few minutes about the tutorial series and the conference. I see people are still signing on to the call, so that might be a good place to start. As you know, you've been receiving letters of confirmation as you register and learn more about the conference in Italy. And quite a long time ago, as Jim and I have been planning very meticulously the design and the themes for the conference, we realized that the model that we're using, which is definitely not a lectures from the podium type model, but a model in which registrants for the conference, because they're activists and spiritually motivated people in their own right, that we realized that it was very important for them to have a big voice at the conference and participate as fully as possible. And we know that when we're putting people who have a lot of expertise in their professional lives into a conversation with people who are working at the grassroots and other levels, that we felt the tutorial materials would supply a kind of a top level of information about the issues and about the various faith traditions that will be represented in Italy. The main things that everyone will want to be thinking about so that they can add and contribute as productively as possible to the dialogue, which gains confidence and basically puts everyone at the table. And the secondary purpose of these calls is to begin building our community a few months in advance, because I've always regretted when I go to conferences that before and after the conferences we don't get to learn about each other before we get there, and we often don't follow up with each other after the conference is over. And I thought that this would be a wonderful opportunity to get to know each other. So that's all I needed to say in terms of introduction about the tutorial. Jim, did you want to say just a few words about the conference in general?
Hi. You've touched on what I would lead off with, which is I think it really is extraordinary that this is not, by and large, a conference of talking heads. And we've all had the experience of, you know, the conference, as Barbara says, where it's all lectures and addresses from the podium, and that can be very important and very fulfilling and very enriching. But I think the neat thing about this conference is that we will all be working together in working sessions, and you're going to get to know there are about 50 significant religious and spiritual leaders and 200 or more of us who are activists in various ways trying to build a better world. But we will be interacting and working together in our sessions, core and action groups. And I think that's really remarkable. We'll get to know each other. You'll get to know these remarkable religious and spiritual and cultural leaders. You'll get to know them on a face-to-face, first-name basis. And I just think it's an extraordinary opportunity. And I also think that there is no more timely topic than the evolution of religion and spirituality. I think we all, those of us who are involved in the shaping of this, believe that we're in a time that is absolutely characterized by a powerful acceleration in the evolution of religion and spirituality. And we're going to all find out together more about that and decide what we can do singly and together to make that a reality and to hasten the coming of the next step. So it's very exciting stuff.
Yeah, and something new happens every day that makes me feel more confident about the fact that we might actually achieve something sustainable in this conference together. And the fact that all of you are joining us on these calls every couple of weeks until we actually leave for Italy, to me, I feel there'll be a ripe opportunity for a lot of dialogue, a lot of questions, a lot of ideas that we can still accommodate that might come up. So I guess you can see that we as organizers are feeling very jazzed about this. And we, yes, admittedly, we're very close to it, but we hope that you're going to catch that buzz as we go forward. We've all come from a long day, I have a feeling, and I think before we get into the gist of the tutorial and even taking a moment, I want everyone to have a moment to at least speak their name and where they're located and any organization that they're associated with. But before we do that, I wanted to ask Donna if she would just help us by taking a moment of centering here so that we can all leave the day behind and show up here. Would you do that, Donna?
Thank you, Barbara. I'd be happy to. So let's all just really recognize that we are coming together in this great moment and that it is our intention to be centered in peace. And so to just let go of all that outer activity, let's just take a breath or two and consciously evoke that calm, peaceful center that we all have. And in that quiet moment, in that quiet centering, we do open our minds, we open our hearts and our very spirits that we might be inspired by this activity, that we go forward in joyful anticipation, in this great spirit of cooperation, engaging in conversations with the pure intention of sharing knowledge, individual and mutual growth. And on that last calming breath, let us quietly affirm that peace is here, now and forevermore. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. I think it might be fun to take a moment. Maestro Conference, for those of you who have never been on it before, we get to look at a screen on the computer where I can see all of your names. And if you have questions or would like, or we ask you to, you know, vote on something, the way that you can do that is by pressing 1 on your telephone keypad, and then that basically raises your little hand here on my computer screen. But what I'd like to do right now is I would like to just read the names of those of you who are here on the call. And when you hear your name, if you would, this is not a long check-in because we'd never get through the whole call, but if when you hear your name, if you would simply say the city, state that you're calling in from, or the country if you're calling in from another country if the time zone permits, and the name of any organization that you're associated with or representing. And that way you'll get a chance to start to know your fellow people. So I'm going to start with Reverend Gonzalo. Hello, welcome.
Hello, thank you very much. I'm Gonzalo Ituarte from Mexico. I'm a member of the Peace Council and participate in Catholic Church. I'm a Catholic priest and have been working with the Peace Council since 1995, and I'm happy to be here learning modern technology.
Thank you so
Hello,
much.
Hello, Gonzalo.
Hello, Jim.
And Gonzalo is a member of our core group. The next person I see here is, if you would say your name and city, Peggy Carpenter.
Peggy Carpenter. I am in Arvada, Colorado. I am awestruck and feel so blessed to be in the presence of all of you. Love is in my heart.
Thank you, Peggy. And Gordon DeVarin?
Yes, hello, Barbara. This is Gordon DeVarin. I'm in Boulder, Colorado. And I feel very, very, very hopeful about what we're about to do, to really be on the threshold of spirit in action for a world of great compassion and relatedness.
Thank you, Gordon. And I see your buddy David Hibbard is here.
Yes, this is David Hibbard. My voice is very off tonight, calling from Boulder, Colorado. My wife, Dr. Christine Hibbard, and I represent the Family Medical Center, and we would piggyback on what Gordon said of our delight in being part of this endeavor, and really look forward to meeting all of you and getting to know you better.
Thank you, David. I'm really, we're really not all from Colorado, but the next person is as well, Steve Farrell. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Barbara and Jim and everyone. I'm in Boulder, Colorado, too. Gosh. And I'm with Humanities Team, and I'm very much looking forward to being with all of you in Rome here later in the year, and I just love what this conference is about, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, Steve. Reverend Datra Hansel.
Hi, Barbara. This is Reverend Datra, and I'm with Agape International Spiritual Center in Culver City, California. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Datra. Pleasure to have you. Karen Lindberg.
I'm in Olympia, Washington. I'm with the Center for Spiritual Living and thrilled to be part of the program.
Karen. Julie Baker.
I'm Julie Baker. I'm also in Olympia, Washington, and I'm on the board of our local interfaith organization. And I love what you're putting forth.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Nancy Roof, hello.
Hello there. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
And I'm really looking forward to this conference. I live in Massachusetts, and I publish Cosmos Journal, Creating the New Civilization. And I can hardly wait till we all get together.
Thank you for all
Great.
Your years of hard
Great,
work. And Reverend Michael Bernard.
Sorry, I was on mute. This is Reverend Michael Bernard Lassimore, Pasadena, California, the Higher Center for Spiritual Awakening, and I am very excited about what's happening and so looking forward to being with all of you in Rome. Blessings to everyone. Thank you.
Hi, Harold. Harold Kasimov.
Harold.
Hi, Barbara. I'm Harold Kasimov. I'm calling from Grinnell, Iowa. I teach comparative religions at Grinnell College. I first met Jim and Barbara at the Parliament of World Religions in 1993, and I'm very happy to be with you again and with all of you.
Thank you, Harold.
Welcome.
We're so happy you're here. Welcome. Karen Hilfman-Milson.
Hello, this is Karen. I'm from Orillia, Ontario, Canada. I'm a minister of the United Church of Canada, and I'm delighted to be sharing this event of spiritual awakening and spirituality in action.
Fabulous. And Sister Judy Cauley.
Hi, I'm Judy Cauley. I'm a woman religious in the Sisters of St. Joseph, and I'm deeply grateful for this opportunity and excited to be with all of you.
Thanks, Judy. Sharon Simonato, I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Hi. Yes, that's correct. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi. Hello, Barbara. I am from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and I am from the Center of Spiritual Living there. I am very honored and blessed to be a part of this exciting conference. I am ending my career as per se, and this is the first thing I'm doing after, so I have direction in my life as well. So I am so honored to be here.
And our friend Jacqueline Pogue.
Hi, Barbara, and thank you all for joining us. I'm very excited, as we all are, to be together. I'm in Richmond, Virginia. I currently am retired but serve as a director of Conversation Cafe and the Virginia Commonwealth University Dialogue Forum, and am on a member of the Board of Directors for the Global Commons Anthroposphere Institute, as well as the Advisory Board for the Virginia Center for Architecture and the Richmond Partnership for Smarter Growth, and am Committee Chairman for the World Service Intergroup, which is an international spiritual organization. And I think that's enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Busy woman. And here's a name I recognize, Stephen Pope.
Stephen.
Wait, why do you recognize that? Wait a minute. Did you see that on the post office wall? Hi, Jim. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Stephen.
I'm Stephen Pope from upstairs in Santa Barbara, California. And spiritually, I work with the Quakers at the Alternatives to Violence Project. And I'm excited about the whole event, like several other people have expressed.
You. Patricia Bish.
Hello, I'm from Sherman Oaks, California, and I have been involved with spirituality and psychotherapy all my life. I'm practicing EMDR as a therapist for many years, and I'm an author of a book, Freedom from Food, and spirituality, mind-body connection has been the key in my life. Very excited about this peace inside.
Thank you, Patricia. John Wasik.
Hello, John Wasik from Grays Lake, Illinois, just a few miles from Jim. Hello, Jim.
John.
And I'm a resource person with Common Ground and happy and humbled to be here.
Thank you, John. Seta Kenny.
Hi, I'm Seta Kenny. I'm also with Common Ground and the Interreligious Engagement Project. And I'm very, very excited about the whole conference.
Seta. Dr. Abigail Albert.
Yes, hi everyone. This is very exciting for me to be here. I'm from San Diego, California, and my husband and I are co-ministers of the All Faith Center, and we also are founding ministers of a local interfaith group called the Poway Interfaith Team. I'm also president of the affiliated New Thought Network, and I am just honored to be here and amongst all you wonderful people. Thank you.
Abigail. Jane Percy.
Good evening, everyone. I'm here in Mystic, Connecticut, where the sun has just set on the Salt River. That's my front yard, and very touched by the opportunity to be with you on this call and all the other opportunities that we'll have to be together. I'm director of a wellness center known in our area as Riverlight Wellness Center, and my primary focus is as a teacher and a health coach and a medical hypnotherapist. But I'm taking a little break from the intensity of all of that to explore the wider world and this reading about this opportunity and this beautiful conference touched my heart. So I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to do this.
Thank you, Jane. Kathy Schaff.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kathy Schaff. I live in Laguna Hills, California, and I am blessed to work with an organization called Women of Spirit and Faith, and I also will be representing the Board of Trustees of the Parliament of the World's Religions, and I look forward to being together with all of you in the mystery. And hello, Barbara.
Hello. Thanks, Kathy. And we're almost done. Shelley Whelan, is it?
Shelley Whelan.
Whelan.
Yeah. Hi. Yes, my I actually live in Lakewood, Colorado, another Coloradoan. And I'm a lay member of Mile High Church in Lakewood. And my partner, Gina, is supposed to be on the call, but I think she registered too late. But nonetheless, we're both very excited to be part of this whole process, and being lay people and members in the church, you know, we get to touch on various areas personally and being able to be involved in various groups of the church. And as an RN, I unfortunately see a lot of upheaval in people's spirits. And so hopefully can impart some of the wonderful wisdom and it, the experience of what we're going to live in Italy.
Wonderful. A couple more have joined us. Kathy Garderian.
Yes, hi. I am in Newport Coast, California, in Southern California. Involved with evolutionary leaders.
Kathy and Barbara Pomar.
Fairbanks, Alaska. And I've been very interested in this whole, in all of the changes. We see dramatic changes up here. And in my travels, I've been watching and listening and talking to people. And have been empathetic in picking up some basic unrest and yet some excitement, but nobody knows what the excitement is really about. And I just want, and I'm looking for tools to engage with people and to help people through this troubling birth period we're going through.
Thank you, Barbara. And one more, Gina Roden is here. Gina, would you like to introduce yourself? Oh, okay. Well, we're not on every call. We're not going to, I'm sorry, are you there?
I'm sorry, I forgot it was on mute.
Oh, okay.
I'm Gina Roden, and as Shelley said, I'm her partner, and I'm just an ordinary person thrilled to be part of an extraordinary event. I'm in Lakewood, Colorado.
Wow, that's a great message. Thank you. As I started to say, we're not going to take most of our time on all of these tutorials to introduce ourselves, but I think you'll agree with me that getting a sense of who's actually here is really interesting and exciting. And that being said, I think we should start to move on to some of our tutorial material. And I'm going to ask Jim if he might, not the first part chronologically, but a big part of the tutorial this week was that we were doing just a thumbnail of the tradition of Christianity. And I wanted to ask Jim to talk about that and the context for the study materials.
Sure. The tutorials contain the various tutorial modules. Each one has a focus on a particular religious tradition. And what we've done is just include a very brief paragraph of description that we've spent a lot of time on and given a lot of thought to, but a brief paragraph of description. So here you have the description of Christianity. I suppose I'll read that. But then we follow the same format. For each of the world's religions, we identify its excellence. I'll say something about that. The master story. What is the great story of the tradition? This is a technique that's often used by students of comparative religion or teachers and students of the world's religions to identify the master story. What is the most important or one of the most central narratives of the tradition? And then for each of the traditions that we talk about, we ask, what's its characteristic ritual pattern? Obviously, there's a lot to choose from in different traditions, but what is the form or theme of celebration that we might focus on in our attempt to learn more about the tradition? And then can we single out a particular single ethical norm for the tradition? So let me just quickly read the little paragraph of Christianity. The Christian faith embraces a wide variety of doctrines and religious groups based on the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is held by Christians to be the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, for many Christians, it should say, the second person of the Trinity, and the Savior of humanity. This teaching finds its essential expression in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament. Although Christianity is in one sense the most fragmented of the world's religions, because thousands of different variations on the Christian theme exist, most Christians see the promises and prophecies of the Hebrew Scriptures fulfilled in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. For Christians, Jesus is Lord or brother, exemplar, and transcendent savior. Christians celebrate the life of faith as the key to a real relationship to Jesus Christ as God, and through that relationship, the path to salvation and eternal life. Like Judaism and Islam, Christianity has a powerful social message. Christians believe in the action of God as Holy Spirit, informing and transforming humanness through faith. There is a wonderful book by a remarkable scholar of religions. His name is Fritjof, F-R-I-T-H-J-O-F, Schuon, S-C-H-U-O-N. And back in about 1976, he wrote The Transcendent Unity of Religions. And I've been paraphrasing that book for many years. And although he said it a little bit differently, my version of what he had to say was this, has always been this: every religion is superior to every other. Every religion is superior to every other by virtue of something it does best. And so when we got together to talk about the various religions, we decided that we would try to identify an excellence, a particular excellence, distinguishing character of each of the traditions. So for Christianity, we've suggested this: a unique vision of the human-divine connection and of the power of love as the essence of that connection. The person of Jesus Christ as one of the most powerful and evocative of spiritual symbols, and devotion to and reliance on the Savior as the essential spiritual path. What's the master story of Christianity? Well, I think most would agree it's the death and resurrection of Jesus. But if you listen to again to the interview with Father Thomas Keating and also to Brother David Steindl-Rast, that interview, it's actually Brother David that made this point most clearly in the interview, perhaps there's often too much focus on the death of Jesus and too little on the life. So the master story should really be the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. What's the key ritual pattern? For most Christians, it's certainly Holy Week, culminating in Easter, the celebration of the life, of the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And finally, what's the ethical norm? I think there's no doubt about this. It is love one another. So we'll have this little kind of vignette for each of the traditions that we talk about in these dialogues.
Great. This is good. You know, I was very touched by something that Donna had shared with me a little earlier when she was commenting on the structure that we've put forth to get some understanding of the different religious traditions that we'll be surrounded with in Rome and Florence. And she said something about what this idea of Schuon's excellence, what it meant to her personally. And Donna, just briefly, I wonder if you could share how that translated into your own life.
Right, Barbara. It really did touch me that we hit upon that one key thing that we really do excellently, and it brought me back to the experience I had 5 years ago when we all went on the peace train together from L.A. to San Jose. And as a senior minister, I was in a state of overwhelm, thinking there's so much to be done, and every day somebody was coming into my office, we should do this, we should do that. And, you know, I was in overwhelm. But coming back, when we all sat around and talked about what we were doing individually, it was like Spirit just took me over and just said, relax. Your charge from this trip, what you need to do is go home, go back to your roots, and look at what you do well, and then do it excellently. And it renewed my commitment.
Thanks, Donna. Thanks for sharing that. Let's take a few minutes, though, to hear from the group. We'll be happy, especially Jim, we'll be happy to field any questions that have come up around the topic of the tradition of Christianity, or any of this format that we've taken here, or any questions with regard to this. And remember that you can make a comment or a question by pressing 1 on your telephone keypad, and then we'll identify that you'd like to speak or ask a question.
And Barbara, I assume we're including here questions that people might have about, or comments, from listening to the interviews with Brother David Steindl-Rost or Father Thomas Keating. Is now the time for that as well?
I thought that we'd get to that in the next section.
Fine. That's fine.
We're leading into that soon, because I don't see any hands going up around this. I mean, we started with Christianity, which is a tradition familiar to most people in the West. I do have a question from Karen, though. Would you like to go ahead?
Yes, thank you. It's Karen Hilson-Milson, Minister of United Church in Canada. I always struggle when we need to identify what Christianity is about, because I realize that I see it from such a different angle. I think that this is a very probably good traditional interpretation of Christianity. I just want to share that for me, the Master story, although it's about the resurrection of Jesus, it reminds us that there is life beyond death. The Master story is really, for me, about the teachings of Jesus about the kingdom of God here on earth, that heaven is here, the experience of being connected to God, which is named within this description, is about how we have to how we are called to live day by day, and that the kingdom of God is our greatest calling, is to create the experience of the presence of God, the presence of love here on earth, here and now. And I know that I somewhat step outside of what might be the traditional focus, but to me that is what it's about. And the ritual pattern for me, again, is gathering together to practice living in the kingdom of God. So practice living the way of compassion, practice living the way of equality and social justice and spiritual awakening. So I just wanted to name that within the context of this conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because we're at a jumping off point here, and as we move forward, it's all about the conversation, the dialogue, and the evolution of the conversation. So I really appreciate the spirit in which that's offered. Any other questions?
I just want to say that's a wonderful addition. And although our descriptions are really more directed to people outside of the traditions who are coming to them for the first time, I just want to put in my two cents worth that I couldn't agree with you more about what is the real Master story. That's very nicely done.
Thank you, Karen. Okay, well, let's move on for the moment. I'm curious here. We've made these little video audio meditations. AG&T produced these last year when Jim and I actually did a teleseries during our season for interfaith and intercultural celebration, in which we were able to have guests, as you know, because you're listening to some of their audio recordings on these tutorials. And for that teleseries at the time, we created a series of these meditations so that we could give a flavor on, we basically chose 9 different topics that had universal value in 13 different traditions. And there are many more traditions, of course, that we didn't represent. We certainly have left some out, but these would be considered the world's major traditions by anyone in the standard sense of the word. And I'd like to ask the question now, since we chose quotes on these various topics from the different traditions, from either their scripture or their literature, sometimes they were not perfect translations, but more or less giving us the point. I wonder if I could just get a show of hands, that's one on your telephone keypad, of people who had a chance to actually browse the meditation for this module. I'm seeing some hands go up. Good. So thanks. Well, over half the group for sure has seen it. And I guess I wanted to just ask at this point, it's definitely not intellectual processing. It's more of a way of being with the idea that there is a universal sharing of certain human values that we can find across all the traditions. And the meditations are kind of a way of immersing ourselves in that understanding. So I'm just asking for some comments here or questions or impressions about what viewing the meditation on gratitude did for you, or brought up for you. Would anybody like to step in and share any of their impressions there? Okay. This is good. So now let's, oh wait, I see one. Okay, Jacqueline. Jacqueline, would you like to share for a minute?
Yes, I thought it was a wonderful way for me, just as we started this phone call with a centering prayer, I found it a lovely way to enter into an internet experience where I felt like I was going to be reading and kind of catching up with the material, so to speak. And it set a quality of the energy field for me to be in a different space to do that, which I greatly appreciated. So I actually really enjoyed it, and it just shifted my own focus on hurrying through the material, getting it done, doing my homework, you know, like a good girl type thing. So I found it very helpful to open up a space within me to go through the next phase of the work in a much different state. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, that's exactly what we had in mind for that material. And it will reflect itself in the conference itself, because we're hoping to balance our experience of, since we're covering in the conference a great deal of complex and very substantive material, I know that it's going to be important to give people time to process and even sort of be in the experience together in a way that is more heart and spirit centered, not always from the strictly intellectual point of view, because there'll be plenty of that at the conference. So I think what Jacqueline's describing is the fact that we're hoping to balance all of our ways of knowing, and that we're hoping to carry that theme through the conference as well. So now I think, Jim, we should get into some dialogue about the audio recordings. Brother David Seidelrod, could you go ahead?
I'm just looking at the screen that has all the modules.
Mm-hmm.
The Learn, Explore, Articulate, Participate, the LEAP screen.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I was familiar with all of these meditations and all of the themes that we used in our teleseries, I hadn't seen them all together for a while. And just sort of looking at them all and realizing that we're saying all of these themes, gratefulness, contemplation and action, peace, restorative justice, forgiveness, healing, and so on, nature and ecofeminism, the idea that all of those themes resonate in all of the great traditions in one way or another really just struck me just now, and I think it pointed me toward the conference in a nice, fresh way. So I just wanted to mention that.
Oh, thanks. That's great. So let's talk a little bit about Brother David's audio interview.
Sure.
You want to start with that?
Do you want to say a word or two about Brother David, background, or should I?
You can if you'd like. Well, I can. Well, we both know him pretty,
yeah.
You know, somewhat well. We spent some time with him in India and in Italy in our last synthesis dialogues. Brother David, aside from being just the most beautiful soul you can imagine, for those of you who haven't met him, who really lives the ethic of love and gratitude from the very essence of his being, which to me means everything. He was born in Austria. He's a Roman Catholic theologian, a Benedictine monk, and he's been in the interfaith dialogue for a long time. He's got a special interest in the topic of the interaction between spirituality and science, and besides being a pioneer in the Buddhist-Christian dialogue, he's contributed a lot to understanding and peace in the world through interdisciplinary social commitment, which is exactly another way of talking about what we're doing together in Rome. Among the vital findings which have brought changes in the scientific view of spiritual practice are the role of gratefulness in political and altruistic action and the relationship between gratefulness and happiness. So, in a way, he's kind of a scientist of gratefulness, as well as a scholar and wonderful practitioner. So that's
and
a little
I
anything
love what
to
you
add.
Said about the his work in spirituality and science. Way back in the early 90s, he co-authored a wonderful book that was called Belonging to the Universe that talked about science and spirituality. He co-authored that with Fritjof Capra and Thomas Matas. And it's a really, it's a wonderful, wonderful book. He's a terrific guy, and he has been a pioneer in the global interfaith movement just forever. We asked him in our interview about his the teaching of gratitude, which he makes very central in his teaching. But when he talks about gratitude, he usually doesn't say gratitude. He says gratefulness.
Uh-huh.
And he says, he said a wonderful thing. He said, you know, the word gratitude is a great word, but it's been used so much. It's sort of like an old coin that's been passed around so much that it's worn a little bit thin, and it passes through people's hands and they don't exactly notice it. But when you say gratefulness, because it's a little unusual, and it's a little fresher, and it's a little sharper, a little more accurate a term, people pause, they listen, they wake up a bit. I loved that. Barbara asked him about the relationship between grace and blessing, and the idea that as we receive grace from the universe, from the divine, we turn that around and we pass it forth as blessing. He talked about that at some length, and I thought it was really moving. He also talked about how important the interfaith movement is, and he and Thomas Keating both said essentially the same thing, that and it's something that is echoed, for example, by the great scholar of religions at Harvard University, Diana Eck. If you know only one religion, you don't know any religions, and he made that point. Talked about the interfaith movement as subsisting on the energy that comes from the fact that every tradition has something to share with every other. Whenever we talk about this idea of the excellence of all the traditions, I remember the words of a great Quaker mystic named Douglas Steer, who talked about the idea of mutual irradiation, that every tradition has some radiance, some illumination that it can shine into the darker areas of other traditions, or to help their adherents discover elements in their own traditions that they didn't know about. He was very much, in his interview, very much on the same wavelength as our late friend of many of us, Brother Wayne Teasdale, who talked about the same thing when he talked about inter-spirituality. He also said, and this is the last thing I'll mention, that and this goes with what I guess it was Karen that said before, that the key to understanding Jesus is much more his life than his death, and that service is at the heart of Christianity. The best of Christianity emphasizes taking care of the poor, the oppressed, those in need, by serving them in love. And somehow when he says that, you just know that he means it with every fiber of his being. He's a wonderful guy.
Yeah. I wanted to put out to the group right now, occasionally if we've got a real big crowd on the calls, we can break out on Maestro Conference into smaller groups, but I think for the sake of time we'll stay together today. But I did want to, Donna was helping us frame some questions based on these interviews, and I wanted to put out a couple of the questions that she had submitted, because I'd like to put them out to the group and just, you know, it's not questions to answer, it's more like impressions about how some of the things Brother David said in his interview and how they actually show up in our own lives. And so these are the questions I want to put out here to you for a moment. How can living in gratefulness impact our interpersonal relationships individually and collectively? If we practice gratefulness in our dialogues and interactions with people of other faiths, what will that look like, and how will it impact our mutual understanding? Or in other words, how can gratefulness serve as a bonding agent or a unifying agent within our community? And that's true at both a local and a global level, as we now know. So if you could just sit with that question for a minute, you know, the value of how gratefulness actually binds a diverse community together, especially one that may have some challenges in terms of their interfaith and intercultural profile, that would, you know, we'd love to hear any impressions or ideas or questions that you have connected with that. And you can raise your hand by pressing 1 on the keypad. Anybody want to venture forth? Peggy, would you like to contribute something here? Peggy Carpenter?
Would. In the interview, it was stated that grace is such that you receive grace, but in receiving grace, there is a compulsion to express it. And I feel that in gratefulness, that is the same. When I am truly grateful for something, I feel a necessity or impulsion to express gratefulness to another. And that's a cycle of involving someone else in my life and caring for them globally is amazing to me. It's time globally for all to express gratefulness, because that, in a way, is expressing love.
Thank you, Peggy. That, you know, that's actually coming right from Brother David's dialogue. The two phases to gratitude, and you've just expressed that so beautifully, is there's first a deep sense of appreciation for something that's given, a real gift. And secondly, when the heart overflows with that kind of joy and thanksgiving, it becomes the more outward expression so that you can spread that. And you've just expressed how that has an impact on your life very, very beautifully.
It did this week.
Anyone else would like to comment? There's something else that...
If I could just interject for a moment there, the picture that came to mind in formulating this question of how gratefulness would change our dialogue with those of other faiths, and I imagined an image that someone is approaching and saying, I am grateful that you have this different path, and I'm grateful that we get to walk side by side in separate paths. It takes away the edge of needing to defend your path or to have an argument. You just get to come together in love, and I like that idea.
That's nice. Yep.
Thank you. I see that Judy Colley has a comment or question. Judy, go ahead.
My comment is I've always appreciated David's way of saying that love is belonging and acting as people who belong together. And I think once we internalize that, living an expression of gratitude for belonging, and I think if that's the mindset that we come with into this conference, that the belonging will just be a fuller experience and broaden and deepen in and through us.
Thank you, Judy. Abigail?
Yes, hi. I'd like to share a little bit about the idea of gratefulness. Being a member of the Poway Interfaith team, we've been together for a few years now, and our team, there have been times when we're not in the honeymoon stage, and there are times when we have differences. And there is always that feeling that regardless of the difference, even if some people's emotions get a little bit high and intense, there's always that feeling that we are going to be able to work through this. And we always feel very grateful for that. And there's always somebody that will stand up and try to see how we can come together in even a greater way. So sometimes what we find is when there's dissonance among our group, the dissonance actually is a blessing because it moves us upward in our own personal transformation with loving and caring about one another, and it brings even more of that particular person's faith and feelings to light, where we can stop and look at it and pause and maybe say a prayer in the meeting, and it just transforms us. and to and then we feel such a bond with each other when we can work through these challenges, you know. And I'm grateful that we can do this, and my heart is in gratefulness, because this is what happens when we are in groups with different faith traditions and cultures, and it really gets to be a blessing.
Absolutely, it definitely enhances. I'm being a little mindful of our time, and I want to at least touch a little bit before we end on other aspects of the tutorial. And so I wondered, Jim, if you wanted to say a few words about Father Keating. I mean, I could talk about Brother David and gratefulness forever, but let's move on to the Keating interview. If you want to speak a little bit about Father Keating, we know who he is, and maybe frame your impressions of listening to his interview, which you did today.
Well, it was fascinating to talk to him about the centering prayer movement. He's one of three people, but he's really the global public face of centering prayer, which is a contemplative approach, a meditative contemplative approach. I remember, Barbara, you asked him if he thought this was had a particular appropriateness for Westerners, and he said, "Well, I certainly think so, but of course I'm biased." And he says that the whole centering prayer and silence movement speaks to the universal hunger for meaning and loss of confidence in religions. But the thing that struck me the most is when he said, just as though it had just occurred to him, he said, "Well, silence was probably God's first language." And maybe his final language, maybe his final word. I like that a lot. Another high point was that fits with our theme of sharing and so on. We asked him about his long friendship with His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Together, these two remarkable men started something called Monastic Interreligious Dialogue, which originally just brought together some Tibetan monks and some Benedictine, mostly Trappist monks of the Roman Catholic tradition. And then it expanded and came to include monks and nuns and people who were not in religious life and so on. But he talked about the Dalai Lama, and he said that His Holiness was one of the great leaders of our time because he understands compassion, and he understands oneness. And also, Father Thomas said that he was always struck with the openness of the Dalai Lama to science. And he recalled something that I've also heard His Holiness say, that if it came to be that the best cutting-edge teaching of science challenged some assumption of the Buddhist tradition, that if it couldn't be reconciled, science should prevail. And Thomas said that he thought that was quite extraordinary. He talked, as you would expect him to talk, about the importance of interreligious dialogue, but I'll just end with one more thing. He says there's in the context, we asked him about the idea of the evolution of religion and spirituality, and he said, yes, indeed. That as the great Teilhard de Chardin had argued, the Benedictine, who was the bridge between Indian spirituality and Western spirituality, Father Bede Griffiths, as they both argued, we really are embarking on a time of the dramatic acceleration of the evolution of religion and spirituality. But then Father Thomas put a name to it. He said there's a whole new world opening up to our ancient religions, and that world is pluralism. The idea of religions being able to talk about their similar experiences of contemplative prayer, of how the divine penetrates all of creation, and just as I was saying a moment before, as you look at these themes, these nine themes that were identified for the earlier teleseries that we're drawing on again, the notion that religions really can come together and talk about what they share with regard to each of these themes, setting aside the old exclusivist idea that if one of us is right, the other must be wrong, and beginning to entertain the possibility that more than one of us could be fully right, and more than one tradition can be fully vibrant and vital. So he said, if you don't love all the religions, you're not practicing your own correctly.
Wouldn't it be quite a world if everybody felt the same way?
Not just.
You know, I wanted to say, yeah, that's great insight. But I wanted to once again put it back to the group and give people an opportunity to comment on this, their impressions, their insight. I think one thing that's going to be a very prevalent theme, in fact, we're working very hard so that this stays at the forefront of our conference in Italy, that we can no longer really gather and have dialogue for the sake of dialogue, and that the idea of having profound inquiry and sharing of experience and insight is always necessary, but it has to be on a trajectory that moves it toward concrete proposal, concrete action, concrete commitment. And we're very committed to that idea of the time that we spend together at the conference. So I wanted to put out a question that was articulated by Father Thomas in his interview, and it had to do with the distinction he makes between contemplation and action. You know, is it possible that they're at odds, and how do we combine the two? And he says, you know, with a laugh, well, to separate them would be a serious mistake, because there has to be a balance between the two, contemplation and action. If you have all contemplation without action, you might find yourself isolated and lonely and even sort of subjugated to the motive of ego. Whereas too much activity in the world without contemplation and silence could lead to exhaustion and burnout. So I have a feeling a lot of you on the call might resonate with that idea, and I wondered if there was anyone in our few minutes who might want to share some impressions about that part of his interview.
Very good.
Is it one want to talk? Kay Lindahl?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I was just talking about that today, as a matter of fact, in a class I was teaching. And there, for me, it's two sides of the same coin. When I'm in contemplation, when I'm meditating, I'm really nurturing my soul. I'm re-energizing my soul. And then I'm capable of going out into action, reinvigorated and more effective, more efficient, more lively in my action. Then when I'm in action, I know I need to go inside again to regroup or to replenish my soul. And so it's a both and it's just this wonderful circular or spiral pattern of inner contemplation and then outer action, and then one leads to the other, leads to the other, leads to the other. And it's just a miraculous thing for me, and I so resonated with what he said. But of course, I've been doing centering prayer for 20 years now too, so I think maybe that's part of it, because I know his work and his book so well.
Thank you, Kay, and I know your work, and I know that you're actually, that's where you live. So thank you for that comment. Once again,
hi.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Oh, of course, you guys know each other.
Yeah.
Respecting all your time here, I don't want to end the call without asking Jim if he would just speak a little bit about, we also every tutorial have point you to what we're calling a global manifesto, which is basically a charter or a proclamation or a declaration that's been drafted mostly in our last century that has really made a difference and been sustainable. So Jim, I wonder if you would talk about the idea of the charters in general, about the charter that we intend to introduce in advance of our conference, and just a couple of points about the one for this tutorial, which was the Assisi Decalogue.
Right. I would say, first of all, just about charters in general, and that lets me say something about Assisi. One of the questions that comes up, conferences often produce declarations or statements, and people that haven't taken part in really meaningful conferences, really meaningful gatherings. I think many of us on the call have, and we understand the power of a truly significant conference like a Parliament of the World's Religions or whatever it might be, one of the UN World Conferences and so on. An awful lot gets done. And some of the most important documents of the second half of the 20th century and early 21st century are, in fact, declarations or statements at major world gatherings. And so we decided, since we're going to be offering as a tool for our work in Rome and Florence, not as something we're going to bash our heads together on and try to reach agreement on, but as a tool that we will take into the gathering, which we may then all decide to sign and offer to further use in the world. But we thought we'd put together a compendium of some of the most significant declarations and charters from previous conferences. And the one today, this Assisi Decalogue, is kind of remarkable. It's worth looking at because the Assisi gatherings, which have taken place for a number of years, these are gatherings, one of the few interfaith gatherings that have had the blessing and often the participation of the Pope, of the Holy Father. And this Assisi Declaration begins with a letter from the late Pope John Paul II to heads of state introducing this document that has been agreed on. And I think the document is noteworthy in a couple of respects. First of all, I'm going to say quite frankly, it's a very cautious document. It's not terribly daring, and yet I think it's very solid, and its basic elements are things that I think most of us would be able to agree on. It addresses violence, addresses the question of poverty and the poor, and the idea of the promotion of friendship between peoples. I think it's really a remarkable document, especially to come with a letter of introduction from a pope. One could, I suppose, in this little company here, I could dare to say that I could imagine Pope John Paul II writing this letter. I have a harder time imagining Pope Benedict XVI writing this letter introducing the Assisi Declaration. But the Assisi gatherings, something to be aware of. These are interfaith gatherings of high level religious and spiritual leaders, and usually with a Holy Father in attendance. They've been rather remarkable, and it's a history worth knowing. So let me just say a word about our charter. What we have before us for the tutorial today is just the introduction to the charter that tells us a little bit about what we intend, how it all came about, and then the preamble. I think the preamble is an important document. If ours is indeed, I won't read the whole thing, just this bit, if ours is indeed an age of value shift, no dimension of that epochal change is more important than that which is underway in the world's great religious and spiritual communities. It's a movement that embraces the possibility of peace, champions the causes of justice, accepts the burdens and privileges of ecological stewardship, and demonstrates compassionate service in the face of human need. The one thing that I think is very important to say about the Charter is that it has an internal structure that we'll be getting into in later tutorials, and that internal structure is provided by a set of what we call 16 axial markers. Is ours really an axial age, a second turning on the world's axis, the first being the 1,000 years before the time of Christ that saw the birth of all of the great, or at least the laying of the foundations of the great religious traditions? Are we in a second age of revolutionary, evolutionary turning, an axial age? And if so, what would be the markers? As we get farther into these conversations, we'll become very familiar with 16 axial markers that we're offering as the framework for our conversation, and they also will provide the framework of our charter. Those 16 markers, the last thing I'll say is this, they are divided under four headings or four domains, and those domains will also structure our working sessions. We will be working in each of us in one of four domains in our time in Rome. And then when we get to Florence, we're going to mix and match people from all the different domains as we get together and try to decide what kinds of real work we can now take up. But those domains are worth mentioning. They are the domains of religious and spiritual evolution. First of all, reconciling with the other. Is that happening? Is that changing in our time? Transforming society, embracing the earth family, and finally rediscovering the sacred. So those four, you're going to come to know those four domains very, very well. And under each, you'll find in the 16, group of 16 markers, under each of the domains, you'll find four exemplars, four examples, four signs of change underway in the world. So as we get into it a little bit more, we'll be taking a much closer look at that structure. It's the structure of the charter, but it's also the structure of our work together at the conference.
And all of you are familiar with that because when you filled out your registration form, we asked you to prioritize which of the domains you had the most passion about, which were less your focus, and which you would love to learn more about. And that's going to give us a basis for how we can include you more personally. We really want to accommodate your own interests and areas of expertise as you get involved in these dialogues. So much more to come about all of this, and I know that we've gone over time, but I thought it was important for us to at least get a sense of meeting each other at the beginning of the call, which, like I said, we won't necessarily always do each time. And just to thank you for your participation and for taking a look at the tutorials and getting yourself prepared for our work together, I think it will really enrich your experience if you come in feeling as if you're already part of a community and you're prepared to engage in these issues and this dialogue. Excuse me. So next, the next one will be on June 28th. Tomorrow is June 15th. We'll have at the same time, and you use the same number and PIN that you used for this conference to come into the next teleconference. And we'll be looking at Islam and Zoroastrianism next week. We're talking about peace in our interviews. We've got their great interviews with Jamal Rahman and Naheed Anga, the Seville Statement on Violence, and just more conversation. So please think in advance about the kinds of topics and questions you'd like to bring up to participate next week. And Jim, did you have anything to add? Last minute?
No, just I'll echo what you said. Thanks to everyone, and I'm looking forward to doing more of these.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everyone, and we'll see you, hopefully, we'll hear you in a couple of weeks from now. So be sure and get in touch with us if you have any questions in between. You can just email us at, all the information is on our website. Okay, so thank you again, and we'll see you soon.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.